It is a nice morning today, and I'm excited about the weather and how beautiful it's been, and been doing a lot of work preparing for things, and preparing for the sermon is one of them, and I'm just thankful that, you know, life gives us a lot of opportunities, and one of the things I've been thinking about lately, and I kind of wanted to take a different approach with you know, when you've been working for a place of business for a long time, things seem to get complacent and you kind of know the routine. And I think that goes along the same lines as our spiritual life as well. We kind of seem sometimes we could get in a groove and, you know, it's a good groove. But I always think of the possibilities that we have as God's children and the things that we can do and how we can interact with other people and provide a light for them. And so at work, I was thinking about this the last couple weeks. Typically, I know exactly how things are going to unfold throughout the day. It's a city job, so it's pretty straightforward. We have timelines, we have routines. Things stay pretty consistent for the most part. And I wanted to be able to take a different approach with work this year. And I was thinking about that as well. And I was thinking about my spiritual life and this local and what we could do for some of the things that will help us in this year to come. And I thought about that and want to just kind of take a fresh look at that. So I titled my sermon today, A Fresh Start. I think this is going to be a sermon that's directed a little bit more towards those that have been struggling. I think about the people that struggle a lot in their lives, and as a child of God, I've been blessed immensely. I reflect back at where I started, where I've been, and where I'm at, and you know, in conversation over the last couple days, it's kind of funny how we tend to reflect on the good times when we were young, when we were children, how innocent we were, and how easy it was to have a glad heart and to be joyous in the moment when basically you had nothing. Didn't have responsibility, didn't have money, and didn't have any goals in life. And when we were young, those really young, those things really didn't matter. One of the things that we all go through as we grow up is we acquire more responsibilities, which equate to more stress, more anxiety, more of those things that can be a burden in life. And I think about those things, and I'm not a particular fan of anxiety and stress, but you know, I try to pray to God to help me be able to see things from a different perspective that would help me be able to overcome those things, because as we grow, we do encounter those things in our life. And I know that God has been good to me and to several that I know. And so I feel that God has helped me be able to influence others to find the path, to be encouraged by the Spirit, and to help them be able to get through things that are difficult. I don't know what the future holds for me, but I have a hope, and I love that song, Whispering Hope. I have a hope of the ability to be able to grow, to be able to renew my thoughts and my actions in life in a way, in a manner that would be cleansing and that would be beneficial and fruitful for the Lord. And so I think about those things and I pray about those things, and I believe on those things that God teaches us. Because it's been proven. And when we have the ability to be able to allow the Lord and His Spirit to work with us and in our hearts, He proves those things. He is the person that He is, the loving one that helps us be able to realize all the goodness that He has to give and has to offer. So I wanted to start this morning in 2 Corinthians and just read a couple verses there. Chapter 5, 17 and 18 are the two verses. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us to the ministry of reconciliation. And I was thinking about that, and I was like, hey, you know, what are these old things that have passed away in my life and in lives of those that I love and the gospel of Christ and the church and our local? What are the old things that have passed away? And, you know, this anticipation of good things to come, I think about the principles that I once used to believe, the old practices that I used to have, how to go about doing business and doing life, and the challenges that I encountered when I would practice in the way and formulate principles of my own that I thought would be advantageous for my future, for my career, for that image that I was promoting as who I was in myself. And I found out very quickly that those things, I struggled with that. It was always something that I had to try to force. But when I let myself go of those old things that were of my own way and put God's way into new standards, new rules, new goals, and even in times, not at times, but there was a transition from old friends to new friends. And now in that transition, new friends have become new brothers, new sisters, new family in the gospel. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing that God has given all of us to be able to see and to understand. And, you know, it's interesting because of these transitions in life and what it does to a person. Sometimes you wonder if you're doing the right thing as you reflect back and you don't really see where you're going. But one of the things I appreciate is that God helps us be able to see where we're going. If we reconcile ourselves to Him, if there's that reconciliation that He has because of us with His Father, there's nothing but good things that come from that. And that's a part of life that's could be difficult to learn, is to reconciliate with brothers and sisters, with friends, with family. It's challenging, especially if we're holding on to those old things that we have in our life, the way that we go about doing things. A lot of times that, you know, is part of human nature and learning. I don't really try to say always and never anymore, but we would tend to justify our offenses. And I think about those things, you know, because this person said this or did this to me, then I can justify the fact to react in a manner that I do. But God teaches us that, you know, it's not justifiable to do those things, to treat others, but to treat others how you desire to be treated, in a loving way. And this reconciliation, I wanted to share that because I really appreciate this part of this verse here, that how Christ reconciled us to Himself, how God reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. And that definition of reconciliation is the act of reconciling parties at variance, renewal of a friendship after a disagreement or enmity. In Scripture, that means by which sinners are reconciled and brought into a state of favor with God after natural estrangement or enmity. The atonement and reconciliation, it provides us a new heart and a new nature. And that's something that I really appreciate, because that newness of heart, I really think, gives us the ability to be able to tear down the walls, the borders that we put up, the obstacles that we put in place to be a child of God. And this reconciliation that we have because of Christ with God is something that helps us be able to mediate the issues of life, and not only with each other, but within ourselves and our spiritual walk and the sins that we commit in the eyes of God. And so we got to think about those things, and we got to approach life as a new creature, as it says here. And I always think about becoming a new creature, you know, a child of God. There was a lot of things that I had to transition from and transition to. And I put this picture of the little plant here. I don't know what type of plant it is. It looks like a little bean to me, but it's important that, you know, as we transition, you know, things are sensitive, things are tender, our heart could be tender, our emotions are raw, you know, these things can be difficult to deal with and hard to understand how to deal with. And I think that part of becoming a new creature, we have to have an outlook that is positive, that is an outlook that is laid out through prayer and through supplication with God, and His Spirit will lead us where we want to go. And so this is something that will help us be able to set new goals, have a new perspective in life, give us new talents. I appreciate, you know, as we grow, especially in our spiritual walk, people acquire new talents. You know, some of the most difficult things that we think that we can't achieve, God shows us that we can. And it's through our weakness that He shows us we are strong. I think a lot of this newness will provide new friends. And it will help us be able to heal from old feelings. So we have new feelings that these things that we see will eventually bear fruit, and it'll provide. I know that when we embark on these type of journeys in our spiritual walk, that, you know, when things become new, if those that are desiring to be baptized enter the waters of baptism, many times I have heard it seems like the very next day that there's some kind of trial, some kind of temptation that is put right in front of me. And it's interesting how Satan works in our lives, and it's interesting how the grace of God protects us and helps us through, even if the first day after we trip and fall. I think that with the newness of commitments that we have to God, that God knows our every weakness and helps us be able to grow stronger and stronger as our roots dive deeper and deeper into His Word, into trusting Him, and it provides us the hope to continue to grow and to expand and to be that which He desires us to be. One of the things that we just recently did is a lot of us just made new commitments. We had the election of officers, so there's a lot of new commitments there for responsibilities that people are taking on. That's a great start to be able to do things with a cheerful heart and show the Lord that in this commitment, I'm going to show obligation. I'm going to prove my responsibility to you that it is worthy, that it benefits others, and that it's a blessing to others. I think about new marriages, and, you know, Alicia and I have been married going on 22 years now, and there's a lot of new growth. Even at 22 years of marriage, there's new growth in understanding each other. I think that, and I believe that, and I've learned that through life, no matter who you are, if you're willing to be able to allow the Lord to lead you, that you will always see new things come from you. And I really have been appreciating that in a different way, because as I age and I feel older, I feel young at heart in my servitude towards the Lord. And it refreshes me and helps me feel at youth to have the desire, the ambition to be able to understand that I don't know everything, that there's always something to learn. There's always room in my heart to allow the Lord to help me to grow, to heal from wounds, injuries, and to be able to see the grace that he gives. Even though my sight is declining and for some tones of voices, my hearing isn't inclined to be able to pick up things as it used to be. I still see and I still hear those things that God has given me in my life to understand, to experience, and to love. And so I thank God for that. And I would like to be able to help others be able to see that, you know, when you're trying to become a new creature, that there's all these experiences that you're going to have, that you're going to walk through, and that you're going to see and hear and feel and hopefully share with others. But with that, you have to start fresh. So we're going to go through a few things here. You have to rebuild. So there's a rebuilding process. And one of the things that when you're becoming a new creature is facing uncertainty. And as we go through these different phases, there's challenges that we are going to face. And so, you know, we just have to put ourselves in God's hands. We have to allow him to be able to lift us up, to carry us. We're not going to have all the strength that we need to get through things. We're not going to have the ability, the discernment to be able to figure everything out. There's going to be dark times, and we're not going to be able to see exactly where we need to go. So we're going to have uncertainty in our lives, but God shows us where to go. And so I wanted to start off with starting fresh. And as you see here, I think about this in life a lot. I'm going to read the Proverbs 16:6 real quick. It says, "By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil." And so I put this picture of the merry-go-round on there because a lot of times my personal life, and I'm sure people can relate with me, it seems like we're on that ride. You know, things are just going over and over. It's a never-ending cycle of the same thing, day in and day out. Sometimes it's complacency. Sometimes it's a struggle that we deal with. It could be mental. It could be an addiction. It could be whatever ties us down, whatever binds us. And you know, this even includes with our mental state, the same thoughts, the same behaviors that we have, and we just cycle through them over and over and over again, and it can drag us down. These are negative thoughts that I'm thinking about, and it can cause us to lead to actions that could be dangerous for our spiritual walk and our temporal life for that matter. I think about those things, and if I'm on this merry-go-round, how do I get off? And the Lord is the way to be able to get off that ride, but we have to choose to go in that direction. And I was thinking about this, and everybody's probably heard this as well. Einstein's quote, "The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result." And so, you know, this is one of those things. If we're on a merry-go-round, I bet if you're on that thing long enough that you're going to start to get dizzy. You're probably going to start to get sick, and you just are going to, you know, think that there's never an end to it. And one of the things that come with that in life is that can really cause sickness within yourself. That can cause you to struggle, and it's difficult at times to be able to sometimes get off that ride, get off that merry-go-round, and start a new, fresh path. I think about a lot of us here know that it's football season, and I think about you know, some of the things, that dumb things that I did over and over and over in my youth, and sometimes as an adult as well. And I think about how, like, you know, it used to be just a referee would, you know, make a decision on the field, and basically that was it. There was no instant replay when I was growing up. And I think about what they do now with instant replay, how they can stop it in a fraction of a second, put it back and forth, move it forward and backward, and look to see if the ball touches the ground or if the guy's foot was out of bounds, whatever the case may be. And sometimes I wish that we can kind of have that perspective on life with ourselves. You know, if we're offensive to another or to God and we don't realize it, that we have the opportunity. There's actually a play on it with some commercials now that, you know, if somebody does something, no, you did do that, the husband and wife. Well, let's go to the instant replay. And they kind of rewind and look, oh yeah, I did do that. It would be nice to be able to have that in our lives. But that's not the case. But God knows everything that we've done and has an account for it and is capable of helping us be able to see and to know what direction we need to go, how to get off that ride. And He is a forgiving God. But we know that the whole time, Satan's right there, that he does not want us to go in a different direction. He likes us to wallow in our sorrows, in our struggles, in our sickness, in our addictions. He thrives on that and does everything in his power to prevent us from breaking free from that. And so I wanted to relate a story about that, and I picked it up. It was really interesting as I was kind of going through and trying to find something that I could relate out of the gospel. And I came across, I'm going to read a portion of this. It's a vision of Joshua from Zechariah, and I found this very interesting. And I was reading and studying on this a little bit, and Matthew Henry had made some really good comments, and I wanted to share that with you today. And Joshua was the high priest, and the Lord was showing Zechariah, hey, you know, he was put in front of the judgment of God, and Satan was at his right hand trying to really get him in trouble. And so I'm going to pick it up. It's in Zechariah chapter 3, and I'm going to read the first four verses, and it says, "And he showed unto me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is this not the brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away thy filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment." And so, you know, Satan's standing there at his right side of Joshua, and he's accusing him of all this wrongdoing. He was kind of, as I was reading this, I believe he was taking on the sins of Israel and standing before him because he was one of the high priests. And they were being accountable. He was being accountable for guilt and corruption throughout all of Israel. And so this idea of Satan being his adversary in law is standing there, and he's trying to let God know that, you know, these things that he's doing, he's not worthy. He needs to, you know, look at his garments, they're filthy, and he's full of sin. And so at this time, Joshua was trying to honor the Lord, and he's standing in front of him, and so Christ stands up for him, and he says that this Satan, he's trying to aggravate everything. He's trying to make it appear more than what it is. And he's trying to stir up the hearts to anger and to get Joshua to be to not be pardoned by the Lord. And that's a way that Satan uses, not only in this situation, but in our lives. It's a way to discourage us, ourselves, to cause things to be more difficult, to make it more confusing, to make the obvious look different. And so one of the things that's neat is that Matthew Henry says that when we stand before God to minister to Him or stand up for God to serve His interests, we must expect to meet with all the resistance that Satan's subtle subtlety and malice can give us. So this is an expectation that we have to have as we're trying to get out of these situations in our lives that have bound us down, that we go around and around. And as we see in here, it said that a defense was made for him, and it was checked by the Lord's angel of authority, and that he was conquered and he was silenced. And I think if we put our hearts in and we have that desire of newness for the Lord, that he's there for us. He's our advocate. He's there to be able to cast out Satan out of our lives, help us be able to squash those things that have been difficult for us to deal with on our own, and gives us the strength to do so. He says here, Matthew Henry also states, the accuser of the brethren of the ministers and the ministry is cast out. His indictments are squashed, and his suggestions against them, as well as his suggestions to them, are shown to be malicious, frivolous, and vexatious. And I had to look that word up, and I was like, oh, that's a cool word. I never heard that one before. So in Webster's 1828, it's irritating, disturbing, agitating to the mind, causing a disquiet. And I think a lot of those times that, you know, we get, I refer to it as fired up. You know, that could actually be a term that derives from Satan himself and the fires of hell really stirring up our hearts. As we get fired up, it causes controversy within ourselves. You know, we don't have clarity of thought. We blurt out things. We struggle through things. We tend to put our foot down, say things that could be harmful, but God knows us, and all these things that vexation could cause, distress, cause us to feel harassed, all these things, the Lord squashes that. And he also says that, note, these that belong to Christ have him ready to appear vigorously for them when Satan appears most vehement against them. And I think about that as well, that, you know, as we try harder and harder, it seems like it is harder and harder, but we got to just continue forward. And one of the things I appreciate is that, you know, the Lord, the world, every one of you have a perspective of who I am. And that could change, it could vary in many different ways. And the thing that I really appreciate most is the Lord knows. The Lord knows. I can't quite understand, you know, some of the things I do, but the Lord does. And the Lord has a desire to help me. The Lord has a desire to help you. We all know our struggles. And I know that I will fail over and over again. But as Joshua was put before the Lord, Satan was right there agitating the whole situation with his vexation. God knew what was on Joshua's heart. He was showing that to Zechariah. And in the end, the Lord said, take off those filthy garments. I have garments for him, new garments, new that are fresh. He is clean, cleansed. And I think about that. I thought about a sermon I did a while ago, you know, and it was the acronym for the word fail. It's our first attempt in learning. And as long as we understand that what we did, be able to kind of instant replay it in our minds, you know, do those things and not want to go back and revisit that and learn from that and grow from that, the Lord helps us be able to get off that merry-go-round and that ride. And so, you know, that could be challenging. You know, a lot of us can be stuck in a particular situation, but we know, we read about brothers and doing the work in Christ, and they're locked up and imprisoned, and the Lord frees them because of their prayer. And the Lord can free us because of prayer. And so there's a process to this. We're going to continue on. And so I have made a note here. How do you start a new journey on a new path? And it's one step at a time. You got to take one step at a time. I think that I wanted to talk a little bit about rebuilding. You know, that's going to be part of the process and helping you be able to stay the course. And it says in Psalms 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And this is one of those things that if you get on the path, stay on course, stay on the path. David was in a pinch when he was, not so much a pinch, he was in a bad situation when he was writing some of these Psalms. And Saul was chasing after him, and he really started lifting his heart to the Lord to be able to be secure, safe, not slain. And one of the things that I read as I was studying this is how Matthew Henry made a good point that this prayer, it's a salve for every sore and every leaf, and a relief to the spirit under every burden. And you know, sometimes that is so good to know that even if we know that we need to do the right thing, we still sometimes do the wrong thing. And I have a good example of that. It was this week, earlier this week. I was out back, and you know, one of the things that I do as I go through the shop at work, and if I ever see somebody, even at home with the kids, with the box cutter, if you got to cut up the cardboard and you got to put it in the recycle bin, I like to cut it up so there's more room. You just don't throw the whole box in there. Same with the guys at work, you know, always cut away from yourself. Well, I didn't heed to my own advice earlier this week, and I had a box cutter, and I was cutting a bucket, the top off a bucket, so it would fit in a tub. You know, as silly as that sounds. And as I was taking about 2 inches off the top of this bucket so I can get in the tub and close the lid without having big old bulge in it, I was starting off with the bucket and I was taking that knife and I was trying to pull and turn the bucket as I was going along. And I was like, boy, this really isn't working out so well. So I decided to change direction because your force of pull could be a lot more than pushing at times. And as I was pulling that knife, I was coming to the end of the bucket around the top, kind of like opening up a can. And it was right here on the planter out back. And I was pulling it, and I was pulling it, because that bucket plastic's pretty hard. And I had a new blade in it. And it got to the last inch, and I was like, all right, just go real slow and take it easy. Bah! And I stabbed myself in the stomach. Yeah, it's all bruised now, and I have a stab wound, which I really think is kind of cool. But it really, you know, taught me one of those things. That's one of those simple lessons of life, how, you know, even though you know what to do and how to do it, you're still capable of falling short. And I think that, you know, when we deal with bigger things, when we have bigger things that could cause some serious spiritual wounds, you know, prayer is the salve that heals those things. And it'll help us be able to understand that God is good, that he heals us, that we can be capable of putting our faith and our trust in him. And part of that is through casting our burden on him and having him be able to sustain us. That's a commitment that we have to make to God. That's a commitment that we start off down this path with if we're baptized. This is something that is a commitment. It's a covenant. And the Lord is there in a moment's notice when we pray. He hears us. And that's why, you know, this promise that God gives us that all of it works to the good of our spiritual welfare, to the person of who we are trying to be as God's children. It gives us the support, it gives us the salve, it gives us the strength, and it supplies us with all those things that we need. And this is the part of rebuilding, that's what I put here. Christ is the foundation, and this is what we start building on when we're becoming anew. But for those that have already established that and wandered off, return to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23 says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and healeth to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And these are the verses that I said at our election, or at our business meeting. And it's that commitment that we have to the Lord of who we are, who He appointed us to be, the responsibilities that we have in that to really to walk forward and to stay focused on what it is that we need to do for Him. You know, there's going to always be burdens that we acquire. There's always going to be issues in life. And, you know, a lot of the times, one of the things I say that with work is that it seems like every day I'm putting out fires, right? And that's metaphorically speaking, obviously. But there could be some substantial fires that need to be put out at work. You know, there's some serious things that go on at the airport we got to respond to. There's safety and security is our biggest thing at the airport. So everything has to be in place with safety and security, and police is the biggest participant in that obligation they have to the airport, to the community, to the customers that pass through the airport, Sky Harbor here. And I it's just the funniest thing because, you know, I appreciate days that provide challenges. One of the biggest challenges we have is getting police officers, police vehicles. And it is going up the chain of command and up and up and up. And this week we had a big meeting about it. And we need to know what's going on with trying to provide adequate tools necessary to the operation that provides safety to those around them. And I think about that. And it's a pretty big fire I'm dealing with right now. I'm one of these people that are have their iron in the fire trying to help out and to make this as seamless as possible to transition vehicles into the airport. But, you know, that's a part of life. That's a part of business. That's who we are. That's what we do. And I trust in the Lord that He'll give me the adequate information and capability to be able to organize, to structure a path to be able to do whatever I can to transition these new vehicles into the fleet and help them out. We have 25 vehicles that have been sitting for a year and a half that can't get an upfit. So we're trying to work through that because the fleet is just suffering because those vehicles that are in service are well outdated and beyond their service of life. But I think about that. Those are the types of fires that I deal with. And I think we've all seen on TV lately the destruction that's going on in California right now. And that's a whole different situation with the devastation that comes with real life fire and what it does and how it can cause people to be displaced and put people out. As of last night, I had 27 people that have died from the fires and 31 remain missing. 12,000 homes and businesses and structures have been leveled or damaged in the blazes. That's from California Fire. 82,400 people were still under evacuation orders, while another 90,400 people were under evacuation warnings. So this is real life. This is difficult situations. And so, you know, my thoughts, my prayers go out to these people that they'll be able to rebuild, to be able to lift their prayers to the Lord. I believe that the Lord will help them, will sustain them, and protect them. So, you know, this here for who we are and what we do, I believe all of us have those fires that we deal with in our lives, in our hearts. Those are things that we pray to the Lord so we can have Him help us be able to get through those difficult processes. And if we do get burned, Our prayer is a salve that helps us be able to heal. We learn from those things, the mistakes that we made, and a part of that process is rebuilding and building upon the foundation that was given to us, which is Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of that foundation. And so in 2 Nephi, I just wanted to read real quick here, chapter 1, verses 95 through 99. I just got 95. I have 95 here, and it says, "For there is a God, and he that created all things, both in heaven and earth, and all things that in them is, both things to act and things to be acted upon." Whew. And I thought about this, and there's things that that act and things that need to be acted upon. And in Newton's third law of motion states that when one object exerts force on another object, the second object exerts equal and opposite force back on the first. There's, for every action, there's a reaction, basically. And I think that our actions, when we do those things that are of the Lord's will and of his purpose, that the reaction of those things are good. And it also says in verses 96 through 99, "And to bring about his eternal purpose in the end of man, after that he had created our first parents and the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air, and in fine, all things which are created, it must needs be that there was an opposition, even the forbidden fruit in opposition to the tree of life, the one being sweet and the one other being bitter. Wherefore the Lord God gave unto man that he should act for himself." And I think about that, like, how am I acting? How am I acting in situations? You know, my action creates a reaction. And I've learned that a soft voice is more powerful than a strong, forceful voice. And a tender heart is much more effective than a hardened heart. And so think about how we respond in the things that transpire around us. Think about that. You know, I kind of think about the raising of children. I believe it's never ending. As a parent, we're always hoping for the best, trying to do the best, trying to be the best example. And sometimes that causes myself to be forceful in situations. And I think about that as a child of God as well. And when I look at that and, you know, I compare myself to the greatness and the power of God, I'm just a little tiny fly. And I think about those things, and as a little tiny fly flying through this world, just a little gnat, I think about, you know, I'm going as fast as I can, I'm doing as much as I can, working as hard as I can, and if it's not the will of the Lord, you know, a lot of times we run into that. And it's kind of like when a fly is flying down the road and from the opposite direction a bus comes and you end up a splat on the windshield. I think about that, you know. Here's God's intentions, here's my intentions. Who wins that fight, you know? If we're struggling, trying to do our thing, there's a comparison to be had that God is much mightier than us. God will help us be able to see things that we can do that are much mightier than what we can do on our own. Give glory to God for that. Allow him to help you be able to find direction in that, to help you be able to build on little things that help you become stronger. And it's God's word that gives us that. It's his spirit. It's his love. It's his grace that gives us that. So those interactions that you have, think about those things, how he created all things. Everything has been created by him, but there's a way that we act and act upon those things that he created. So that third law of Newton, I think, is applicable in our temporal lives, but also in our spiritual lives as well. So, to the third bullet point from the beginning there, we need to face uncertainty. And in Jeremiah 29:11, I wanted to read, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And I think a lot of times, and I'm guilty of it, I don't even know what I'm thinking sometimes. Why in the world was I thinking that? And it's interesting how we all know God has a plan. He has a purpose in our lives. And he doesn't waver from that. He doesn't, well, I don't know if Gary does this, I might do that. No, he has no uncertainty in his life. He knows exactly what he wants for us. He knows how to care for us. And that is something that we should put our trust in. That expected end. There's my expectations in life are a lot different than the Lord's. I think about those that struggle, the loss of loved ones, the loss of property, the loss of jobs, whatever the case may be. If we put our prayers towards God, that in the end, His will would be done. And that end will come to whatever trial you're going through. If you get off that merry-go-round, that's a blessing. That's a testimony of God's work in your life. And it's something that you should expect. The Lord loves you, and the Lord wants to take care of you. He doesn't want you going around in circles and circles all your life, dealing with the same thing. He wants you to be brought to a beautiful place that He has prepared for us. And part of that journey is seeing all the beautiful things and understanding what He's created and why He's created it. And it's because of the love of children that He did that. And so, our expectations, when we're facing uncertainty, we're facing fear, expect that God will be there for you. Just like in the vision of Zechariah with Joshua, Satan was at his right hand, but God was right there. He knew exactly what needed to be said. He brought Joshua out of his filthy raiments and clothe them in clean garments. And so, our desires are always different than the Lord's. But when it comes to the struggles that we have in facing uncertainty, don't let it overcome you. One of the things is, just take one step at a time. Just take one step at a time. When we deal with big assignments at work, one of the things with the employees that are newer and that seemed overwhelmed, I ask them, how do you eat an elephant? And they just look at me like I'm crazy. And I tell them, you got to eat it one bite at a time. And at the end of the day, if you've done all you can, that's all you can do. And we'll get some rest, take on more of it the next day. But this is something that will help us, is the prayer that we have. And knowing that there is an expected end to everything. And this is what I believe, just like with David in the Psalms, we're freed from captivity. The chains and the bonds that Satan binds us with, we're freed from that. And God gives us the power to do that. So we need to continue in the faith. In 1 Nephi 2:18. Oh, let me go back real quick here. I want to just make sure I covered everything. Yes, I did. Okay, good. To continue in the faith, 1 Nephi 2:18, it says, "Yea, and how is it that ye have forgotten that the Lord is able to do all things according to His will for the children of men, if it so be that they exercise faith in Him? Wherefore, let us be faithful in Him." So don't forget. Don't forget all those good things that God has done for you. Don't forget to share those things that God has done for you. That's something that we keep fresh in our hearts, in our minds, to help us be able to continue on, to adventure into new talents, new experiences, to be able to overcome the new trials, the new temptations. I think about that, and it's a testimony from our oldest to our youngest when they stand up. It creates those links in the chain that help us be able to be strong as a whole, as a body, the testimonies of all those that have experienced the Lord's work in their life. So don't let it weaken you when you're struggling. See how you could be strengthened through your prayer in the Spirit as God works with you. And I was kind of reading around these verses here, and this is something that was expressed by Nephi because he was upset. The Laman and Lemuel, they were mad at him because they wanted to change direction in the way that the Lord was showing them to go into the wilderness to get away from Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was going to be overcome. They were going to, it was going to be destroyed. And so Nephi was basically telling Laman and Lemuel that, hey, don't you guys remember that God provided us safety? God told us to do this. God told us to go back and to get the records from Laban to slay him. And he did all of that. He proved all of that. And they were really frustrated with him, so they bound him up. They tied him up. And what did Nephi do? And he prayed to God. And he said, hey, Lord, give me the strength to be able to break these bonds and get out of these things, because I'm afraid that my brothers are going to kill me. And the Lord loosened his bonds. And, you know, was he all upset? Did he go to his brothers and did he tell them, hey, I know what you were going to do, and I'm going to take it right back out on you? No, he didn't. Down in verses 34 and 35, it says, and it came to pass that I did frankly forgive them all that they had done. And I did exhort them that they would pray unto the Lord their God for forgiveness. And it came to pass that they did so. And what a neat example of, as God's children, you know, our brothers and our sisters in the gospel, how to react when we could be in a similar situation. You know, people's perceptions of each other can be one way, but really, the heart of a man, you know, despite the fact, went to them with a kind, soft heart that the Lord gave him, and turned them at that point. And they were asking the Lord for forgiveness is what we should do. I think about that, and one of the things that as I was reading, I ran into was that God's children show benevolence. And I looked that up, and in Webster's 1828, it's the disposition to do good, goodwill, kindness, charitableness, the love of mankind, accompanied with the desire to promote their happiness. It says, an act of kindness, good done, charity given. The benevolence of God is one of his moral attributes, the attribute which delights in the happiness of intelligent beings. God is love, and it references John 4:1. And so, you know, we need to be benevolent with our brothers and sisters. We need to show this in our lives, to do those things, to do the good will of God through charity, through kindness, and promote happiness, the joy that you get and serving the Lord, and it's a joy that the world doesn't provide, but God provides. And so I wanted to circle back around and talk about that reconciliation again, and to reconcile myself, yourself, to God. I think it's important. Should be part of our prayer. It should be something that, you know, when we inflict wounds upon ourselves, upon others, that, you know, there's a reconciliation process as I started this sermon. And this, again, definition of reconcile, to conciliate anew, to call back into union and friendship the affections which have been alienated, to restore a friendship or favor after estrangement, as to reconcile men to parties that have been at variance. Very important. Very important part of our spiritual walk in our reconciliation that we have because of the mediator, Jesus Christ. In 2 Nephi chapter 7, 2-4 verses, it says, verses 41 through 44, wherefore, my beloved brethren, reconcile yourselves to the will of God, and not to the will of the devil and the flesh. And remember that after ye are reconciled unto God, that it is only and in and through the grace of God that ye are saved. Wherefore, may God raise you from death by the power of the resurrection and from everlasting death by the power of the atonement, that ye may be received into the eternal kingdom of God, that ye may praise him through grace divine. Amen. And I just wanted to share those few things with everyone today. That's what the Lord has put on my heart, and I really hope that if you have a need to get yourself on a new path, to let the Lord be the one that leads you there. Satan has a desire for you to take other paths in your life, but God brings nothing but good things. And I don't know if I've shared this before, and it's a, I'm proof to that. All of us are proof to that. And I remember, we're going on 22 years of marriage, and I remember when Alicia and I were dating, and she brought me here for the first time, and I literally thought I was going to catch on fire when I walked through those two front doors. And maybe I did in a way. Maybe the Lord did do that through his Spirit. He cleansed me through his love and through that fire that purges us from all those things that are impure in our lives. And as my expectation was, you know, that I was going to be on fire in a very uncomfortable way. And that was the reality of it. The Lord has, you know, and I thought it was going to happen in an instant. The Lord, maybe he did do that. He brought me through trials and fires to get me to where I am now. I had an expected end that night when I walked through those doors. But like I said, and what the scriptures teach us, that over time, the expected end is according to God and his time. And I 100% wholeheartedly believe that I haven't been purged of all of my impurities, but I know that the Lord cares and he's trying to do that for me. And I hope that you see that in your life and that you can reflect on that for yourself. So please reconcile yourself to God. Thank you for your time.